Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of Founders Grid sponsored by Gaper.io. I'm Zanera Boscon, and joining me today is Brian Leonard, the CEO at Grouperoo. Welcome to the show, Brian.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Okay, so I must ask, why did you name your firm Grouperoo?
Sure. Well, most people, there's a few things about naming. When we started a company, it was called Run My Errand. And then eventually we renamed that to TaskRabbit. In the process, we did some research and we found that people love colors and animals. TaskRabbit was almost called Blue Kangaroo, for example. And so when we were looking at, and the other thing is you have to be able to get the domain name. And so when we were looking at companies and we were thinking about what we're going to do, we thought about all the words that are about what we're doing. We're making tools to help engineers synchronize groups of people and data and segments and things like that over into marketing tools and others. And so the word group came up. And people like animals, and people tend to remember funny names, and we get the domain name. And so here we are, Grouperoo.
Well, that was a smart choice. I, for one, won't be forgetting this name since you, like, associated with animals, and I absolutely love animals. that's a smart choice. Okay. Share a brief background of yourself and your work experience.
Sure. I went to school in the United States. I went to IBM after college. Then I met this lady, Leah, and you know, she had this idea. Eventually that idea became TaskRabbit. It's a service to get help in your house, gig economy pioneer kind of thing. We did that for about 10 years. We got acquired by IKEA, the Swedish furniture company. I lived in Spain for a while. That was pretty cool as part of that experience. I came back and wanted to do something new. Thought maybe more of a B2B and open source thing would be fun to do. And now the CEO of Grouperoo.
You mentioned Spain. I absolutely love Spain. Growing up, I've always wanted to go to Spain. Are you a soccer fan or anything like that?
You know, it's hard not to get caught up in anything that everybody else is excited about. So I lived in Madrid near the Real Madrid Stadium, yep. And went to some games and was in plenty of bars and with cheering people back when, you know, now I'm sad. Back when you could go to bars with cheering people.
Well, coronavirus did us all wrong, very wrong.
It did.
What has been your experience with remote employment, both as doing the work remotely yourself as well as employing remote workers?
Yeah, so at TaskRabbit, we got to a point, you know, we were a seven-year-old company or so, always in the Bay Area. Well, we moved from Boston to the Bay Area, but most of the time in that Bay Area when we were hiring people. And we had literally, I think, emailed maybe more than once anyone that said Ruby or Rails or anything like that in this SF Bay Area on LinkedIn. And so, like, you know, they were tired of hearing from us, probably. And so at some point, to grow the company, to get more senior engineers especially, we started doing anywhere in the United States and remote and got some really great people on board. And, you know, in general, that opened my eyes to the possibilities, you know, unsurprising maybe, that, you know, great people are everywhere. But it's important to change how that practices happen and, you know, have them be first-class citizens. We're talking more asynchronous stuff. We're talking considerations in meetings and in general, more written things than verbal things. So when we started doing Grouparoo, pre-pandemic even, we started remote. One of my co-founders is in Seattle. One of them is in San Francisco. I'm in Silicon Valley. The city itself might as well be Seattle at this point. We're not seeing each other very often. And now we have people working with us in Ohio, Brazil, Dominican Republic, et cetera, doing remote work. And so far, so good.
What has your takeaway been from such an experience, if at all?
I think, time zones are hard. That's a real thing. Some synchronous behavior, meetings is super important. We still do stand up. And so in Grouparoo, we have core hours, 9 to noon Pacific, which is, whatever, noon to 3 in Ohio and different things in various places, obviously. And trying to set expectations around those times, set expectations around the right way to communicate, super important. We're an open source company. We have very open culture. How we do documents and like creating them out in the open and sharing early and often, and in general, the way we communicate, even more important because of the remoteness.
What do you think is the future of remote employment? What do you think needs to be done differently to make it even better and more effective?
I really don't see that many super effective ways to get over the time zone situation. The trend that we're in right now is that we're more likely to work with somebody in Canada or Mexico or the United States than in China or Ukraine or England or Spain, whatever. And so I think there's lots of great people everywhere. And, the whole Western Hemisphere or whatever, hemispheres at a time is sort of the trend we're headed in. And I think that's fine and great. The trick is, having a place to work and a good connection and practices that make it successful for the culture that you've created.
What is the story behind your setup? What has your journey been like? Were there any hurdles, ups and downs?
I think I got really lucky in lots of ways that this new company I founded with two people that I'd worked with before. And so a lot of what I think helps in person is building up those relationships. So we had those relationships. And so we were, I didn't have to go through that thing. And then now we brought on new people. And the culture is already set at that point. And so I guess my advice is, if you don't know the people, and even if you do know the people, when starting something new, consciously talk about the way you're going to work. We have our again, open source and whatnot. We have how we work checked into GitHub. And if we want to change something, we actually make a pull request and, have a discussion about that. And I think having those meta conversations is a way to increase your velocity over time.
How did you incorporate the idea for more in your mode of working?
How did we incorporate the idea of remote? Well, in general, I don't think remote is actually a good word, actually, now that I think about it. I think that if you have to be remote means that you have to have something that is central, right? And so like distributed, for example, is how we thought about working. So if you don't have a headquarters, you can't be remote. And so everybody is just wherever they are. And, you know, we've created this distributed notion. And, you know, a big part of that, like I said, is around more writing, more sharing, asynchronous comments on those documents, some time that overlaps. And in general, giving each other the benefit of the doubt and best intentions. One of the common struggles that I've seen people have with writing is not hearing the tone and the body language, which is super important to understanding intentions. And so, you know, part of being successful with distributed work and when you're remote from each other is, you know, assuming the best intentions there. You know, someone says in some way or another, this could be better. It's not them yelling at you. It's, you know, everyone just trying to make the words or the code better.
Due to the ongoing pandemic, many companies have been forced to go remote, even educational institutions. In a situation such as this, what are the major roadblocks and challenges?
Well, I have a lot of pandemic experience with school at home, two kids, both at home. Sometimes now we're moving in the right direction. Sometimes they go to real school in a slightly different situation. You know, and I... my son said to me once, like, you don't understand, Dad. It's so hard. Like, you have to be on these calls all day, like back to back. And I was like, I hear you, buddy. Like, that's really hard. I get exhausted when I'm on Zoom calls all day too. And they have to do it without the training and financial incentives and all kinds of things. So that's super hard. And I think there's something to extrapolate out from that to a new form of work-life balance that has, you know, time blocked off in your calendar, for example, is something I do to, you know, not have all meetings all day and have blocks of them and then back to productive work.
Last question. There are companies like Gaper that help develop, build, and scale products, especially for startups. How important do you think such setups are in the startup world and for founders looking to quickly hire smart?
Yeah, I think in a remote world, hiring will be less and less about meeting somebody at a meetup or something like that, like by definition. I've been to some meetups recently, and you know, there was no mingling involved. They were more like webinars or something like that. And so, you know, there needs to be new ways to meet the people that you're going to work with, and the right people for the job. And if remote work allows it to be more likely to find the right person for that right job, you know, we now have a search and filtering process that needs to be escalated to deliver on that promise. And any, you know, there's any tool that helps with that is part of the future.
Well, thank you for joining us today, Brian. It was an absolute pleasure talking to you. I wish I could stay longer and talk some more, but our marketing team suggests that we keep it short. Since the pandemic, everyone has been producing so much content that it has basically forced us to cut these episodes short.
Short attention spans.
Yeah, before the pandemic, we actually had longer episodes, but well, we are here now. Well, thank you once again, and have a great week.
Yeah, thank you. You too.
Thank you. Bye.